What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. In partnership with Showtime.
Welcome back to All the Smoke.
Yes, sir.
Jack, what's up, bro?
Happy to be in L.A.
You turned your game up today. I saw you packed a bunch of Louis coming out here, but you really came. Like, where are you going after this?
I'm just setting the standard for 2022 on the show. That's all.
So you got me looking like a soccer dad right now.
I mean, you got the shit at your house. I'm just gonna force you to bring it out.
I respect that. Man, we got a guest, a guy I've known for a while, a friend of mine. We finally able to track him down, man. Welcome, Chandler Parsons.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Get his watch. When y'all get time, get his watch.
It's probably expensive.
Stop.
Get his watch.
But the new father, let's talk about that. I mean, you were gleaming. We were just talking about this before the show, man. You're a father of a 3-month-old daughter. Tell us what that's like.
He wants more.
Yeah, definitely more.
He told me he's going to have 5 girls.
I'm definitely going to be the guy that has all daughters, for sure. But
pretty little thing.
There's nothing like him, man. You guys know. Mm-hmm. You know, you think you love something, you have a child, and something just clicked. I was telling Matt, like, something happened where, you know, a couple months ago, Mom couldn't get her to stop crying, right? And then I grabbed her, and all of a sudden, it just stopped. And now it's getting to the age where she's getting a personality, and mm-hmm. you walk into the room, and she's smiling, and it really is. There's absolutely nothing like it.
I love it. He knows. He's got a bunch of daughters. Yeah.
Yes. 5 and a bonus.
9-year NBA vet. It's been a crazy past couple years for you. Can you mind walking us kind of through? I know you were in an accident. You retired. Talk to us about what's kind of been going on in your life.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a crazy 2 years for everybody, right? Yep. Like, no one could have predicted this happening. But, yeah, man, it was nuts. I was leaving practice one day, random day in Atlanta, 2:00 on a Wednesday. And I'm driving. I just see this car coming at me and just completely T-bones me. And I had never been in a crash before. Right? I'd never been in a fender bender or nothing. And it's kind of a crazy story. It's a funny story now, but like I'm going and I'm completely out, right? Like I'm knocked out and I wake up.
So where did the car hit you?
So I'm going through an intersection and the car, I kind of see it coming this way and out of nowhere it just kind of speeds up and just kind of gets me going through the intersection.
On the driver's, on your door?
On the driver's side. I was solo in the car.
Damn.
And so I get hit, right? And I wake up. And by the time I wake up, there's already sirens. And I just remember the windows were bashed in. The airbags were out. I had a cut on my wrist where it was bleeding. And I couldn't move my neck. And I'm like, oh, like, shit. Like, this is serious. And I can see the guy who hit me. And he's completely knocked out. Blood everywhere. And I'm like, wow. Like, this is scary. And so I'm looking and my car's all messed up. There's red everywhere. And I hear this voice. And I'm not like a religious, spiritual kind of guy like that. But I hear this voice and it's like, Chandler, Mr. Parsons, we're coming to get you. You're going to be okay. And at that moment, I'm like sitting there. I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, this is what happens. Like, I died. This is what happened. This is God. Like, this is what happens, right?
Mm.
Blood everywhere. And I snap out of it, bro. And it was the OnStar from my car. Them telling me they were coming to get me, and I was bringing my girl home spaghetti. So half the red in my car everywhere was marinara sauce. But at the moment, I'm tripping. I'm like, right. Oh, shit. And then fast forward, like, the next day I go, and Atlanta's like, hey, you need to lawyer up. Like, once they find out who you are, what you're driving, like, this guy's going to sue you. And I'm like, fuck, I didn't do anything wrong. Like, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Turned out it was a dude's third DUI, 56-year-old, just, like, completely his fault. And so I was in this lawsuit basically for 2 years where I was recovering from injuries. Like, I messed my neck up. I tore my labrum in my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Super, you know, gnarly concussion. And so that kind of forced my hand to basically retire. And I never thought I'd do that at 31 years old. You know, you want to go out on your own terms. But it was scary, man. But then the whole world closed down with COVID. And, you know, I think everything kind of happened for a reason. But it was scary.
How are you physically right now? Obviously, I know the mental is going to take a while to just process everything, but how are you physically feeling right now?
Yeah, physically, I'm getting better. You know, I'm still, like, rehabbing, working out, still training. The injuries are stuff that I can, you know, they're permanent, but I can kind of maintain. I'm not going to play in the NBA anymore, so I don't need to be doing that. But to live my life and do what I want to do, to be a father, travel, things like that, I'm okay. And the lawsuit settled, so now I'm finally free and able to do cool shit like this.
I live in Atlanta, so I remember that.
Yeah, that was nuts.
It was crazy. It was crazy.
How have you kind of compartmentalized, obviously, the way you spoke on your daughter, you turned instantly red, but kind of just, again, the last 2 years, and now something I want to visit on, just like the mental side of having your career cut short.
Yeah.
You know, you were kind of, you had bad luck with injuries towards the end, but then just to have it kind of taken away with that kind of situation, how have you kind of handled that?
Yeah, that takes a toll on you. I had 5 knee surgeries, so I was kind of missing time, missing games, kind of towards the end of my career anyways.
Yeah, 5?
5 knee surgeries, dude. It was terrible.
2, 3?
3 and 2.
Yeah.
Meniscus. I had microfracture. That was my first one, too, which kind of set it off and spiraled from there. But yeah, I mean, it just sucks. It's things that you can't control that, you know, my dream as a kid was to play in the NBA and compete at the highest level. And the fact that I did that for 9 years, and obviously it was altered by injuries and stuff, but I never thought I'd retire on these terms. I never thought I'd retire from the game at 31 years old. And it takes a toll on you. There were some dark times there where, you know, kind of, why me? Why is this happening to me? And then the crash happens. Then I'm watching these guys play that I was.
You got me hating on you.
Then Jack's going at me on fucking social media.
I always wondered too, because I'm like, yo, Chandler's one of the coolest white boys I know on the planet. Him and JJ Redick, man, I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
No. And that's, you know what? That's funny he said that, but that's just part of it, right? And then obviously when, you know, I was on a big contract, right? And I had high expectations and I was making a lot of money and I wasn't playing. And so I understand that part. But yeah, I just never expected it to end this way and this quick. But you know, I'm kind of excited for the next future.
Oh, that's good, man.
Castleberry, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about your upbringing. how was it growing up and how did you get into sports?
Yeah, so I'm the youngest of 4 boys. Grew up in Castleberry, Florida.
Go over there.
My brother is here. Yeah, so Chad, Chris, Chase, being the youngest, I just got the shit kicked out of me every single day, right? And I was always playing with older kids, which I think kind of got me prepared, because by the time, you know, I'd go to my own 8 and under at basketball game, and I would dominate because my 3 older brothers were killing me before that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, grew up with them, family, huge Orlando Magic fan. Used to always, you know, I'd go in the backyard, I'd watch the games with Shaq and Penny and them, and during a timeout, I'd run in the backyard and act like them and do what I saw and then go back and watch the game. So that was always just, I always wanted to do it, right? And then, yeah, with the brothers, they, you know, I couldn't have been here without them. They pushed me. They helped me so much. Just kind of so develop.
Castleberry is close to Orlando.
It's like a suburb that's not very nice inside Orlando. Yeah,
it's not very nice.
No, it's not very nice.
You went to Winter Park High School and the number 44 recruit in the nation. You committed to your home state team, the University of Florida, 2006. What was that? How was that decision?
So that was crazy. I went to Winter Park Lake Cal High School. Winter Park's that's kind of the rival school. Mm-hmm. But no, it was cool, man. Like when I was a junior and senior in high school, that's when Florida was popping, right? That's when they just won the two national championships. Joakim, Al Horford, yeah, those guys were there. And I loved the Gators. I would always go to camps growing up. And so being a fan, having them on top of basketball, Billy Donovan's our coach, like to me, it was a no-brainer. And by the time I was a senior, I was a five-star recruit, but this dude would not offer me a scholarship. And I'm going to all these All-American camps. I got all these offers, but for whatever reason, and my teammate, and my high school teammate, Nick Calathis, I don't know if you guys remember mm-hmm. him, he was committed there since he was like a freshman. So I wanted to go there so bad. And just through the process, he finally offered, and I had my five official visits planned. Florida was my first one. Mm. And Stick Joakim was my host.
Ooh. That's and a good host, too.
Let's just say I signed on Sunday and canceled the other four visits.
I don't know him, but I feel like I would fuck with
him. You would vibe with him. Like, he's the best.
I love competing against him, but I feel like just we would be burning it down.
No, he's on your guys'
vibe. Who were your other four visits to?
So my four visits for Texas, LSU, Tennessee, and Notre Dame. But it was a wrap after that visit.
That was it. Yeah. So you're one of those rare, as I was, four-year players, one SEC player of the year. What do you remember most about your Florida experience? I mean, there's a lot of history on the basketball side. Football side is dope. You probably went to, who was on the football side?
So when I was there, it was the years. It was Tebow, it was Aaron Hernandez, Percy, Pouncey Twins, Joe Hayden. That was arguably the best college football team of all time.
Yeah.
Cali Rivers was the volleyball player.
Okay.
We had Ryan Lochte, the Olympic swimmer, when we were there. So, like, Florida.
Yeah, I was active.
Damn.
It was crazy.
You were on campus every day in sandals.
I should have left. I could have been a higher draft pick my junior year, but I had to go back. Like, I loved it.
Really? See, I get that.
I loved it.
You're making it sound sweeter than UCLA, but I feel you. Like, UCLA was a blast.
Yeah.
So, I get it.
No, it was cool. Like, going there during those years, like you said, with the football team was so good. You know, our basketball team was very good. So it was just, I was an hour and a half away from home. So my parents, my family could go to all my games. And like I said, it was just a blast, man. Like, I loved it.
Did you guys kick it with the football team?
We did. You know what? They all football players think they can hoop, right? So they would all go to the rec center and we would play against, like, we would kind of play. And I remember Aaron Hernandez, he had games.
We were with Julian Edelman last night, he was telling us he played. Aaron was nice. He had a scholarship.
He played on Connecticut, like the Husky UConn. AAU team or whatever, with the coach's son. He was nice. Really? Like, he could have easily went D1 in basketball.
That's crazy. This dude just told us that shit last night.
He was really good. So him, Brandon Spikes, like all these guys, they would go and they're athletic as fuck, right? Like, they could go.
Right.
But yeah, we used to bust their ass.
I remember, Jelani, you remember his name? Or Ray, you remember the name? The quarterback from UCLA that used to come in barefooted and go between his legs, the white boy. Drew Bennett. He was a backup quarterback at UCLA. Played like 7 years as an NFL receiver.
He's the Schwab over there. He knows everything.
He's a live nerd. He knows everything.
Yo, but it's crazy because this dude, the football players would walk through Poly sometimes to go to meal after practice, and Drew would come in there with no shoes on and do the East Bay funk and dunk that bitch.
Yeah. That's funny.
I was like, yo, so football players are super athletic. I wanted to, because sometimes, like at UCLA, like some fucked with us and some didn't.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, because sometimes basketball and football players don't really vibe everywhere.
Yeah, there was no beef like that. Like, remember Kansas, there was like the fight on
Kansas. Some of them really don't mess with each other.
No, at Florida, for whatever reason, I mean, we kicked it with them. They kicked it. We lived in the same dorms. Like, we'd go to their games. They'd come to our games. Everyone was winning. So everyone, there was no hate.
Every school, college, not like that?
Football players and basketball players kind of butt
heads.
There's
animosity. Like, there was, remember the Kansas, like 10 years ago, there was like brawl on campus.
So it's crazy. Coach Donovan, went off your scholarship, finally did. What was it like working with him for 4 years?
He was great, man. Honestly, going in there as a high recruit, fresh off two chips from him, like, we went in there with the wrong mindset. We were the number one recruiting class.
Who was in your class?
Nick Calathis, John Lucas' son, Jay Lucas.
Okay.
This kid, Alex Tyus, and some other kid. But
Billy D.
Right.
And so he got him, and it was cracking there, right? Like, they were the best team in the country. and we were trash. We didn't make the tournament. We went to the NIT. So like my first 2 years, we kind of went in there as arrogant little dickheads, and like he's this New Yorker Napoleon syndrome little man, thinks he's tough, and he would just, you know, he's from the school of Patino. He would get in your ass.
Yeah, he looked like he in the mafia. How he be on the sideline?
He's cool as fuck, but he's also he gets angry quick.
Yeah.
So my first 2 years, I didn't get that. I didn't understand that. I would want to transfer. I would want out. And then once you get older and you understand like what he's trying to do and like instill in you, something switched where it was just like, this guy's, and he was always a brilliant basketball mind, right? Like, you can see what he's doing now in Chicago. Yeah. Like, the guy's arguably the coach of the year, right? So, I mean, he's always been a great basketball mind, but then you just understand him more as you, you know, your years go on.
You were drafted 38th overall to the Rockets into the lockout. You decided to go overseas to France for 2 months. What was your reason behind that? You just wanted to stay hooping, stay busy?
Yeah, so when I was drafted, there was the lockout, so there was no season, right? And I was a second-round pick, so my contract wasn't guaranteed. So my agent at the time basically got me a deal where I could go play in France, and they gave me an out clause. And this was during the time where, like, D-Will went to Turkey. Like, a lot of guys were doing it. And as a 4-year guy, for whatever reason, like, it's kind of shunned upon. Like, it's like a bad look to stay in college 4 years, right? Because it's like, why didn't he leave early? What's wrong? Like, and then you're older. Like, I got drafted at 21 years old, which I think is a good thing, right? Because you go through so much shit in college. Like, I'm ready to help an NBA team right away.
Right.
I see both sides with the potential of taking an 18-year-old kid too. But so I had something to prove still. So I wanted to keep going, and I wanted to stay in shape. I wanted to play in games because a second round non-guaranteed contract, I wanted to, when the lockout ended, which it was going to end, I wanted to be ready to go. So I went and played for 2.5 months, and it was dope.
Like, what
I
traveled. Was the experience like?
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, I lived in a place called Cholet, France, which wasn't fun. Like, it was like a little village. There. Yeah, it's not cool.
I played there for probably 3 weeks. It came back home. Yeah, I couldn't do it.
No.
I was 19. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, it was different. It's the crowd's different. The game's different. It's like the Olympic style game where you get to call travel if you don't put the ball first, goaltending, no defensive 3 seconds. But I just wanted to hoop. I just wanted to play. Right? And I was making, they gave me like 25 grand a month. And I was like, at the time, I was like, that's my first paycheck. I loved it. So I was like, this is great. And then the lockout ended and I came back to Houston. I think it really helped me because by the time camp started, I was in crazy shape. I was ready to go. And that's how I kind of got my start, I think, because I was so ready to play that by the time my sixth NBA came around, I was starting.
Who was on your team at that? Who was on the roster?
So when I was drafted, Coach Kevin McHale was the coach.
Okay.
And then it was like Kevin Martin, Scola, D'Alembert, Marcus Camby.
Did you have Brooks?
Brooks was there.
Yeah.
Earl Boykins. Like,
yeah.
Courtney Lee. And then it was like a couple of young guys. It was Kyle Lowry was there, Dragic, Pat Beverly. So when I was there, like, we had a squad too. Like, I think we missed the playoffs by like one game my rookie year. But yeah, we started off like 2-3 or whatever. This is kind of like my like coming to the NBA moment. Like, I wasn't playing at all, and I just came from France. I'm a second round pick with acne, and I was not ready to go. And so I'm playing, and we start off like 2-3, and I played some garbage minutes. We got blown out a couple times where he put me in, and I just remember pulling up, and we were playing OKC. And it was when they had, you know, Russ, KD, and James. And they'd always write the starting lineups on the board. And I walked in the locker room early as hell, like 3 o'clock, like first bus. And I just saw, it said Parsons-Durant. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, it was the first time I was like...
She just got real.
Like, oh, wow. Like, I played garbage minutes against other second-round picks at the end of the game. Like, this was like mine, like... Oh my God! Like it's go time.
I guess one of the best.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, he busted my ass, but he was a little like he was. I think he shot like poorly from the field, and we won the game. And honestly, since then, I started all the way through. So it was kind of like that was like my moment where he gave me a chance, and it just kind of worked out.
Let me ask you a question. So with going to college and playing 4 years,
yeah,
and having the injuries, you think staying all that time? Took some off
probably. When you think about it, when you playing AAU.
With knowing you could have went after your first or second year.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And then you look back, you played AAU from 12 to 15. Then you play 4 years of high school. Then I played 4 years of college. So it's like, that's a lot of miles on your body and your knees by the time you get to the NBA. And like I said, with the lockout, my rookie year, we had back-to-back-to-back. So you guys
three,
remember?
There was
3 in a row. Yeah. And that's when like I was the young guy. So I was playing, right?
All those minutes.
I was playing all of the minutes.
And they probably had you doing shit before practice. practice after
practicing, there first, have to leave last, got to make all the jump. And I'm like, so I think that definitely had an impact. I think the longer you play, just the more grind, the more bumps and bruises you get. But
you can't predict that, though.
Exactly. You can't. Yeah, that's one thing I've learned, bro. It's like, listen, I understand everything that comes with it, with the pressure, the expectation and stuff. And as athletes, we want that. Like like JJ Redick said the other day, he's like, no one can create a narrative to put more pressure on us than us, bro. Right. Like, trust me, we want it more than you. Mm-hmm. So like the media, the fans.
That's why we're here.
Right. Yeah, like it's,
we want it more than you.
And I didn't like that either.
I know. It was good. JJ Redick's really good at
JJ's
that.
JJ's like, dope.
Yeah.
JJ dope.
Yeah. So he and I saw
shout out Bubs.
Yeah. JJ dope.
But that was my thing where I was like, literally my first injury, my foot got caught in David West shorts. I came down on my knee, chipped cartilage in my knee. Like, how the hell am I supposed to predict that?
And had that turned into a microfracture?
That was my third. That was my third year, and yeah, that was when I first had my microfracture. Where
microfracture used to, not to cut you off, used to end careers.
That I was, I talked to Amari, Jay Kidd, these guys that had it. They were never the same from it. The fact that I got that my third year and still was able to get two max contracts after that, but it hurt. Like, it was awful. Mm-hmm. Like, it still bothers me. I have a quarter size piece of cartilage missing in my right knee. Shit is awful.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boog. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game, bro.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and an extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today. Health Aid kombucha.
So going into your second year, you guys make that blockbuster deal for Harden.
Yeah.
Who actually just got traded today.
Crazy.
We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But what was that experience like?
Because so that was nuts, right? So I think we had just gotten Dwight Howard before that. And we needed that extra piece, right? And By the way, the signing of Dwight Howard was nuts too. We can get into that later. That was crazy.
Talk about that.
So Dwight, we had the same agent, right? And I was a second round pick. I had a 4-year deal, but the fourth year was a team option. And at this point, I'm starting. I'm averaging 17. Like no, I'm going. And my agent said I couldn't. They couldn't. They're going to pick up the fourth year. Why wouldn't they? You're owed like 920 grand or whatever, and just a huge bargain for them. I end up hiring Dan Fagan. The only reason because RIP. Because he said, I can get you out of that fourth year. And no one else could, right? And how he did it, basically, he used leverage. He went to the GM and he went to the owner and said, I'll get you Dwight Howard, but you're not picking up Chandler Parsons' contract.
You got to pay him.
So instead of making 920, I got bumped to a max and we got Dwight Howard.
That's damn fake.
It was the most gangster move I've ever seen, bro.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Rest in peace.
It was crazy.
That's who he was. He got me paid.
It's like they say, agents get you paid. Dan Fagan got you overpaid.
Yeah, David, he definitely did. That's my guy, man. Rest in peace.
So to Harden now.
Right. So then we get, so then it's like, all right, James, now we're rolling, right? Now we got two bona fide stars. Great players like me, Terrence Jones was coming up. We get Pat Bev, Jeremy Lin's like fresh off his Linsanity, like he's hooping. And that's just an exciting time, right? Like Houston was a dope place to live in. I love McHale. I love JB Bickerstaff was our assistant.
JB
like,
doing his thing in Cleveland.
Man, coach of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so like now that was just awesome. Honestly, playing with those two guys at the time, Dwight was the best big. James was just coming up into like actual stardom. He made the game so easy to where that was my best year. I averaged like 17, 18 points because he would just lull the defender to sleep, kick it to me, and I would either catch and shoot or do my little shot fake that used to jump on all the time.
You used to fall for it?
And then I would go. But he made it. And then, like, you know, going forward, I wanted more, and that's why I eventually ended up leaving. Like, I thought it would be, you know, I thought I wanted that next step. Playing with James, he made it so easy where, you know, it turned out to not be that easy when I left. But, like, he playing with him, man, he's still him. I got Dirk at the end of his career, but James, he's the best player I ever played with.
Wow.
He was so cold.
What was Dwight? Because this is you got Dwight out of Orlando, right?
We got Dwight out of here, out of L.A.
Oh, so he
came to L.A. for, like, that 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Had he had back surgery yet or no?
He had had the back surgery, but he was fine. Like, he kind of had a down year in L.A., but, like, he was healthy. He was ready to go.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, them two in a pick and roll in their primes, that was tough.
Yeah, I didn't know. I got to play with Orlando Dwight, and I've never seen anything like him. Never seen nothing like
him. I mean, I think now people kind of shit on him because, like, his career, like, they see it now, but the dude was the best big in the league for a decade.
But I think it's when he went to L.A. and wanted to rush back and play after that back surgery is what set him back. So his will to want to help a team fucked his career because he's still, you know, definitely doing his thing, but he wasn't who he was at all.
No,
but when people talk about him, though, they can't really talk about his basketball. Because he's automatic Hall of Famer. Right. So it got to be something that you don't like about him. Off the court.
Should have been a top 75 player, Dwight.
No doubt.
Yeah,
it's just the personal shit that you just dislike him, watching him, the whatever. But as far as basketball, he's first ballot, top first 75. Ballot. Like, he got ripped.
So your first Dwight, you got Dwight, you got James, the squad you mentioned. You guys battle OKC.
Mm-hmm.
With Russ and Durant on their shit. What was that like?
I mean, that was a crazy series. James had just left there. We were going back in there. OKC was one of the craziest crowds to play in front of.
Rocking.
Got the towels. They don't sit the fuck down all game long. Like, it was nuts.
James
just left there. OKC's fans are nuts. And then if you remember, that's when Russ was dribbling to half court to call the timeout, and Pat did the little move and tore his meniscus. So, like, that was a fun series, right? I think we ended up losing in six, but, like, playing against those guys, playing against KD for six games, guarding him, like, that was just a grind. Like, and you guys know playoffs is just different. Like, you can say it, right? But, like, I mean, every possession matters. This shit is crazy.
What's the furthest you've been?
It's game six, Damian Lillard, game winner in my face.
West Conference Finals?
No, first round.
First round.
Yes.
That's the part you've been first round?
Never got out of the first round.
This is what you were about to ask him right here. This is your segment right here.
It was perfect.
Damn, you bring that up?
Yeah.
I didn't even look at it, so it was meant for me to ask you because I didn't even look at it.
Yeah.
talk to us about that series. That was a hell of a series.
Yeah, that was
unbelievable shot.
Man, that was crazy. So we have them. Yeah, you saw that coming. That was another game six, right? We had just won two in a row, so we win this game. We're going back to Houston for game seven. We were the higher seed, and that play was crazy. Still to this day, we have Patrick Beverly on the court. I don't know why the fuck I'm guarding Damian Lillard, right? Like, what? But that was just like a crazy thing where he came off a screen, and I mean, the man hit a 30-footer, right? Like, I mean,
going to his left,
with like 6'9" motherfucker, game, right? And I'm like, there, like I'm. Yes. Like, I mean, he's been doing this his whole career, though, right? Like,
that was a tough one, though.
That was a crazy shot. That was my last game in Houston. That was it. Like, it was, that was our chance. We had a great team that year. We were building. We were going back to the crib for game seven, and just like that, he hit one of the craziest shots I've ever seen.
So, you say you leave Houston because you want a bigger role. You're off to Dallas.
I was on my rookie deal. I was a restricted free agent. So this was actually when we brought Dwight in and we did the deal where basically Cuban came in and he gave me a crazy max deal with like a no trade clause, player option in the last year. Like he really
buttered you up.
Hard part of the deal.
To make like an and as a restricted free agent, you kind of have to do that, right? Mm-hmm. To get the team not to match. And yeah, so like that at the time, I loved playing with James. I loved playing with Mikhail and Dwight. And I just thought, you know what? Dallas, Dirk's my favorite player of all time. They got Dirk, they got Monte Ellis. Like I could go over there, maybe a little even more rule. Dirk's on his way out. I can have a bigger role. Carlisle, everyone who plays for Carlisle, they're this crazy offense, like pick and roll, threes. Like as a shooter and a guy who liked pick and rolls, like I couldn't have think of a better offense than his. And so yeah, I accepted the offer and Houston didn't match. And I think it, you know, it was awesome. Like I love Dallas. I love my time there. I'm still, if I didn't live in LA, I'd live in Dallas. Like
you developed a great relationship with Cuban.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that. He seems like a real cool dude.
Easy to get along with him.
He's the best, man. Even, you know, I only played there for 2 years, but like he's coming to my wedding. Like he's my guy, mm-hmm. right? Like every investment deal I get, I send it to three people, he's one of them. If mm-hmm. he says no, I'm out. If he says yes, I'm
in.
Like he's
it just, to the Shark Tank himself.
Exactly. He's the OG shark, right? There's no one better.
All right.
So he's such a player's owner, right? Like he's funny, he's cool. He'll go out with us like the free agency with DeAndre, like he's so involved, right? Like and he's just cool, bro. Like most owners aren't like that.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us about
I just want to say one thing about Mark Cuban. I want to give him his props. He just started this company where they're able to, people that on medication, able to get medication for real, real cheap. I'm talking about expensive medication for real, real cheap. I want to shout out Mark Cuban for that because I know that's helping a lot of people mm-hmm. all it's across dope. The world. Medicine that's $500, they're getting it for $10, $15. So shout out to Mark Cuban for that.
Q, we need you on the show.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
The recruitment of DeAndre, because you pulled a lot of strings and then the Clippers pulled some crazy shit.
Yeah. That was
DeAndre Jordan, by the way, for those of you know when we say DJ.
That was the biggest heartbreak I ever went through. I mean, at the time we had a great team in Dallas and we're recruiting free agency. Like I'm in the draft room, I'm in the free agent meetings. Like Mark kind of gave me and Dirk like reins, like, all right, like this is who we want, like go get him. Mm-hmm. So I'm coming out to LA. He was also with Dan Fagans. So we had the same agent. So we're partying together, we're working out together. I'm basically, his schedule is my schedule. I'm all over him, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm getting this guy. And I get him. Like he commits to us. Like he's verbally there. Cubans, we're here, we're going to dinner, we're at his house with his mom, his brothers. And I never forget the girl I was dating at the time, she had a birthday party in Vegas. And I left and I tweeted an airplane emoji because I was going to Vegas. That's when the whole reports, you know, the Woj bomb saying DeAndre Jordan having cold feet. And I'm like, there's no way, bro. I just left, like no chance. And that's when that whole Twitter emoji war started. Remember that, where everyone started tweeting like emojis. Chris Paul was tweeting like a banana boat or something. Mm-hmm. Blake tweeted the picture of the door like that. They like locked him in the crib. Like there was a whole thing, and that was all because, and we had just signed Wes Matthews to come with DeAndre mm-hmm. Jordan. So it was like a whole thing, right? But again, like, you know, there's no hard feelings there. Like he did what he thought was best for his career. I think that year he was Defensive Player of the mm-hmm. Year and for the Clippers. He went to like the Western Conference Finals. Like he's had a great career, but that was just like a crazy, that's never happened before. Like we had it, it was
he
done.
He committed, and then the Clippers flew who? Doc, Paul Pierce, CP,
and Blake yeah.
to his house, locked him in.
Until he signed.
And beat him down until he signed.
Yeah, it was nuts.
Didn't he end up going to Dallas anyway?
He did end up going to Dallas. I left and then he went.
Right.
It was crazy.
So heading into free agency, you were looking to possibly stay in Dallas, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Is what you wanted to do, obviously?
Yeah.
And it didn't really work out that way. You end up going to Memphis on another nice deal. What was that experience like?
So that was, I signed a 3-year deal in Dallas, but I had a player option in the third year. And talking with Mark, talking with my agent, they said, listen, I played good that year. You know, we went to the playoffs. They said, you can get a big deal. And there's a lot of interest in you. So I'm like, all right, great. I'll opt out of my player option. And Dan Feng was like, basically, you're going to get a max contract. And you know, when Dan says
you're
that,
the best at it.
I'm fine. I believe you. But Cuban wanted me to opt into that third year because I had just had a knee surgery. I had my second one and I was still going into free agency. And so I didn't pick up my third year because Mark was like, look, just opt in and prove yourself that you can play. And then I'll sign you to a 5-year max the next year. And I'm like looking at it, I'm like, and it was for like $17 million. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, he's telling me to opt in now for 17, but Dan Feggan, my agent, telling me I got guaranteed like 95. Like, I'm like, Mark, if I was your son, like, what would you tell him? Like, would you tell me to do this and take this guaranteed deal? Right. And they knew I had the knee surgeries, right? And so that was crazy. And that's another crazy story where I had two pitch meetings. And I remember it was Orlando and New York offered max deals, but like 2 or 3 years. But the two big four ones were Memphis Grizzlies and the Portland Trailblazers. And Paul Allen came, Dame came, Terry Stotts came, their front office came, and we had a great meeting in Portland. And to be honest with you, I was all in on Portland. I was like, we can cancel the Memphis. Like, I'm going to Portland. Like, this is play with Dame and CJ. Like,
mm-hmm.
this is great. And I was like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, like, I'm in. JB Bickerstaff and Fizz, who are my family, he had just got the head coaching job at Memphis. I said, you know what, let's just take the meeting. Like, I love them. Like, let's see. And also, they had Gasol, they had Conley, they had Zebo, TA, like, they had a squad too. So I'll never forget, we're in this meeting, right? And it's at Dan Fagan's house. And we're in the Memphis meeting. And I see, like, where Stack's sitting, Fagan's getting, like, red and, like, kind of getting weird. And then, like, 5 minutes later, he asks, he's like, hey, let's take a break and, like, you know, let's, we'll meet back up in 5. He's like, CP, come here. So I go to his room with him, and he's like, you're going to Memphis. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, he goes, Portland is going to give you a physical, and because of, like, Greg Oden and Brandon Roy's injury history, you might not pass. So I'm like, what do you mean, bro? He's like, trust me, like, you don't want to go down that. Like, if you do that and they red flag you, bro, you're taking a minimum deal and you're smoked out at $95 million. So I'm like, bro, like, what? Like, in my head, I'm on Zillow looking at houses in Portland. Like, I was going. Like, I love them. I go back in there, bro, and I, Oscar performance going back. Oscar, I go back in there. Listen, guys, I've never been more sure of something in my life.
Sold it.
Grit and grind to the day I die. I'm like, I'm in.
I'm gonna get that shit tatted.
I was like, we can just stop it here. I'm signing. Literally, I'm like Blake Griffin. I wouldn't let them leave till I signed the deal.
Yeah.
I was like, I am going. So that was just another Dan Feggan crazy story where I was like, man, I've never told that story
either. That's incredible.
And so, like, that was nuts where I was like, this man did it again.
And after getting that contract, you get to Memphis and you get derailed by injuries again.
Yeah. I had just, during that free agency, I had just had my third knee surgery, right? So it's not like they didn't know I was, and as an athlete, like, you know, I'm hopeful to be the player I was. And like, when you get paid in the NBA, you're getting paid off what you did and what you could possibly do. So it's like, they saw like a 16-5-5 guy and they were hoping I'd get that or better. Maybe I'd take a huge jump like some guys do. Fresh off 3 knee surgeries, like after that, 4-year guaranteed deal. Like, I mean, like that. So, you know, the Memphis experience, it didn't really work out. There's a little bad blood there, but like, you know, there's some nice people there. I had a good time, but it just didn't work out. I couldn't find ways to get healthy. And a lot of the people there kind of put that on. In the same day, they gave Conley like 230.
Yeah.
So like that day, they spent like a quarter of a billion. I'm like, I remember me and Mike were like, boo the GM. Like, why are you booing us? We just signed the deal. Like,
you would do the same
like,
shit.
Stop it. Like, what do you mean? Like, it was crazy.
Boo the GM.
Yeah, like, boo him.
So, I mean, when it's all said and done, a crazy 9-year run derailed by injury. What do you remember most about your experience in the NBA?
I mean, it was, like I said, it was just my dream as a kid to play in the NBA, man. I never thought it would end this way. I never thought it'd be cut short like this. You know, I had dreams of being an all-star and winning championships and doing all that. But the fact that I lived out my dream and can now support my family and, like, I know if I go
your
tomorrow, my kids are good.
Right? You can support a lot of families.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can, you know, I had a great time. I met a lot of really dope people that I still have really good relationships now. I still love the game. I still am sitting on my couch Friday, Tuesday night watching, mm-hmm. you know, Charlotte versus mm-hmm. Orlando. Like, I still love it, right? Mm-hmm. But you know what? That's just living out my dream. There's no words for it, and it's sad that it's over. But again, I'm just excited for, you know, the future of my girl and my wife, and just kind of going from there, doing different business things.
It's bro. I mean, you get to bounce business ideas off the fucking Shark Tank.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right.
What's better than that? Advice, looking back now, you would give to a younger player.
Honestly, the time flies, bro. Like it's mm-hmm. 9 years went by like that. Like I remember draft day. I remember, you know, SEC championship. Like it goes by so quick, and you want to enjoy it. And I enjoyed it. Like I'd go out. I was a little reckless early on in my career, and you should. You know, you have a great life. You're making a lot of bread. Like you should. Mm-hmm. But I would just say, just kind of cherish every day, man. Like every practice, every film session, you think it's a drag, but when it's gone, like I miss that shit. Like mm-hmm. I miss the playing Blu-ray on the planes. I miss like the film sessions talking shit. Like mm-hmm. The stuff that I hated when I was playing is what I miss the most now being out. Yeah.
Well, you think time goes fast as you're playing. Watch how fast it goes now that you're a father.
I know, right?
That shit, bro, is like, feels like half the time it's just as fast.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my day.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Share a story of battles with him. So this is where it started with me and him. He's playing for the Rockets, and he is busting my ass in the first half. So you know me.
I never knew this story, so I'm interested
to hear.
But
you know me, when somebody busts my ass, what's the first thing I do?
Fight.
I try to start a fight, right? The first thing I do. And this one made me remember him, bro. This one made me remember him. So after I'm talking all this shit to him, he ain't paying no attention to him, and I'm getting ready to try to start a fight. And it's a timeout. And I see him walking to the side to with his teammates, and he looks at his teammates like, is he serious? Yeah. He's like, is he serious? And I bust out laughing. Bro. I'm walking to back to my hood and I'm crying laughing. I was like, well, he just asked his teammate, what's serious?
I remember you were on Milwaukee, right?
Yeah.
I remember.
You didn't even want to be in Milwaukee.
I was dying there. Yeah.
But bro, you hear things about players, right? Like, don't fuck with Z-Bo. Steven Jackson was one of them. So now I'm real life in a game. I'm playing good against him. But now, like, he's tight and, like, he's talking shit to me. I remember asking Sam Dallenbear, and, like, he said something to me like anybody but him. And I was like, I already started it. Like,
you had by 16 first quarter. I was frying my ass.
I was like, fuck it, I can't take this for the fourth quarter. Hey, Sam knew karate, though, his big, long ass.
I'm like, what? You don't have my back? And he, like, looked away. I'm like, God damn, Sam.
Yeah,
right.
Traveling, man, you get a chance. I know you're really close with Blake Griffin. I remember back when we had that Lob City team, me, Blake, and DJ would go to, like, four countries every summer. You love to travel. Some of your favorite countries?
Cholet.
Yeah, Cholet, France. Beautiful this time of year.
Cholet. Yeah. Bullshit.
Yeah, you said it. You know what? I love, like, I went to the Cannes Film Festival twice, just the south of France, that part of the world I had never imagined, like, going or seeing, but it's super dope, really pretty, great food. Mm-hmm. Those Ibiza, Mykonos trips are awesome. Those are fun because you can either go with your girl or you can go with your boys. You can do everything there. But honestly, our favorite spot is Cabo. It's 2 hours from here. I just got to
tell people Cabo. You got a spot out there?
I just got a spot.
We need to borrow it.
Yeah, it's yours whenever.
I'm not bullshitting. You're over here smiling.
give us a good price.
Yeah, we'll pay for everything. Yeah, it's me and Jack's birthday coming up. We wanted to take a Cabo trip with our girls. We got a rich friend, Chandler.
Thank you. You see how that works?
Bro,
that shit is traveling. Crazy. I'm a foodie.
Yeah.
Best food you've had. I just came from Montego Bay, Jamaica, and that's number one on my spot right now.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Food was it? It was dope.
Food was crazy.
Yeah. See, I mean, Paris, the food's awesome. Like, living there when I'd Cholet, if I'd have an off day, we would take, like, me and the other American on our team, we would drive 2.5 hours just to go and get, like, dinner and go out. Mm-hmm. Cholet was such trash. Mm-hmm. We would do that. I mean, but the Cabo, bro, like, it's 2-hour flight and you're in a different world, different language. I love Mexican food. Yeah. Like, it's just the best. The culture's the best. They're so nice. The staff is unbelievable.
Great golf courses.
Fantastic golf. And like I said, it's 2 hours away and you're there.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Appreciate you.
You mentioned a little bit of business. What kind of stuff are you into? I mean, you unfortunately have to, you know, retire at an early age, but you know, life is good. Wife, daughter, business, I'm sure is booming. What kind of stuff are you into right now?
I think I'm investing in a lot of startup companies and a lot of other companies. Like, I'm in on Hyperice, Aura Ring. I still don't know what esports is in FaZe, but I'm in FaZe Clan, which is apparently is like, you'll watch an esports game. There's more viewings on an esports game than like Super Bowl Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like, it's insane what these kids are doing.
Is Aura Ring that check your blood pressure?
Checks your blood pressure, your temperature.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Things like that. My brother I'm with in a couple restaurants in Orlando. My girl's got a cosmetic line called Treats. Just a little bit of stuff like that. And now, honestly, now that the lawsuit's settled, now I'll probably start getting into some commentating, broadcasting, doing podcasts with you if you guys need a third host.
For sure.
We always looking for people over here for real. No bullshit.
Don't say that now. You know,
I'm going to get that
Cabo House podcast.
Showtime going here.
Brian Daly at Welcome Chandler Parsons to the Showtime
you
family.
You cannot say that on this show and Brian Daly and them not whispering in the back.
Wait till the trade deadline's over, though.
Now watch, please. I promise you, before this season's up, you're going to be back here talking shit with us. Man, it's been a great interview so far. We're down to quick hitter. So first thing to come to your mind, let us know.
Yeah.
Build a dream starting five of Florida-born players.
Oof. Okay, Florida-born. I would go Vince Carter. I love Vince. He's the best. Ooh. Playing with him was cool. Daryl Dawkins, OG. Ooh. Back in the day, used to bust my dad's ass.
Pops played against him?
Yeah.
Dope.
T-Mac. Ooh. Love T-Mac.
That's a top three right there.
I'm going Amari Stoudemire.
Mm.
who I literally saw beat the shit out of dude at my high school team camp, like the manager on my team.
Yeah, he was a grown man.
He looked like he does now when he was 16.
Right.
And now I need a point guard. You guys remember Darius Washington? Edgewater High School, played at Memphis. He was like the Sebastian Telfair year where they had the Through the Fire where they played Edgewater. I know you remember him.
Look.
He missed the free throws in the tournament. He never really made it to the league, but he was the coldest, best high school player I've ever seen in my life. Really? I love that you know that.
Yeah. The big diplomat.
Yeah.
5 dinner guests, dead or alive.
Mm. Wow. 5 dinner guests. I'm going to go with MJ.
Jordan or Jackson?
Ooh. Both.
Okay.
Thank you for clearing that up. Yes.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong. Save. I got to have Tiger Woods in there.
Yeah.
I got to have Muhammad Ali in there. And then I'm going all athletes here.
Somebody got to make y'all laugh at the table or something.
Yeah, give me Will Ferrell.
I was just about to say that.
Give me Will Ferrell.
Can't go wrong with him.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
We
got to get Will Ferrell on the show.
That's going to be a funny episode. Yeah. He might come in here. What did Kevin Hart say? He always in a bit.
Yeah.
So he's in it. He's playing, acting like a character at all times.
You know, he doesn't even have like lines half the time. Like the funny shit you see on like Step Brothers, he's just winging it.
I believe
like that's
it.
Just him like vibing off Vince Vaughn, like saying crazy shit.
I believe it. Yeah. I believe it.
I love it.
Toughest matchup in the league.
I mean, honestly, scoring wise, like guarding KD is impossible.
Give me
bro.
Your 5 wing because we all were wing players.
We all dealt with the same shit.
Who were like, your 5
KD's
wings?
KD's impossible, right? He's 7 foot and he can handle crazy. Like you can't stop him. You just hope he's having an off night, honestly, mm-hmm. at night and be physical with him. Like Kobe was crazy. I mean, James Harden was, you know who I had the most trouble with? Ginobili. Just because he was so slippery.
He's always in my list.
He was so slippery. He would draw. He would foul me. I had to get 3 fouls early on him. Like, he was tough. And,
but he would get down.
Yeah, smart.
Keep him from going left. But once he got downhill, young Ginobili used to dunk that shit.
Oh, he would Euro
viciously.
To dunk it on your head. Even if he went right, he's coming back left somehow.
Ginobili was a motherfucker. And he's always on my love. You said that.
Ginobili was tough. And then... I mean, we switched a lot, right? So I remember a couple of times I would get caught on Steph and like moving without the ball really is not my gig, right? Like I'm better like post defense or maybe like fighting over a pick and roll. This dude doesn't stop.
All right.
And so chasing him was probably just as hard as guarding like KD on an ISO because he's just
all movement.
Yeah.
Wore out.
Right.
All movement. Who else? We had D-Wade, Carmelo.
D-Wade was crazy. Carmelo's a bucket. But then there was the guys, like who were the guys that like
Ron Artest,
like that shouldn't, but that would bust your ass. Like I had Wilson Chandler used to always just, and Rudy Gay. Those two guys, 30, no matter what.
Karan Butler, Butler.
He's like your kryptonite?
Yep.
Yeah.
Karan you Butler. Snuck me a couple times. Yeah. You, motherfucker. You snuck me a couple times, goddammit.
You can have the combo.
Yeah.
Favorite city to visit when you win the league?
I would say New York, just because growing up in Florida, I'd always go to Miami, and I lived in L.A. in the off season. So New York was, I mean, that's the MSG is the Mecca, right? Like going to playing there was dope. Dinner there after the game was dope. Going out was dope. Yeah. Like I just really, New York's just different for me, and I only like it for short stints.
Yeah, yeah. In, so and like, out.
In and out. Fish. Exactly. Like,
yeah.
So I would probably say New York.
I would say Miami, and it has nothing to do with basketball. You feel me? Yeah. I just feel like I was talking to someone about this the other day, like the energy when they open that door and you can get off the plane is just...
Yeah.
You want to like take your shirt off like Michael Jackson, with your chest hanging out with no... You mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I would say Miami with nothing to do with basketball.
Well, it's funny because y'all answers are mine. Basketball-wise, the Garden.
Yeah.
Life-wise. Miami.
You know what was sneaky? Was
Miami.
Scottsdale for going
Phoenix.
Out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Scottsdale Phoenix was nuts going out. Not Scottsdale to play.
Was,
like, it's whatever. But
Scottsdale
as far as going out and nightlife, Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Scottsdale is popping.
Best Kobe memory on or off the court?
Yeah. So I got a good Kobe story. So my rookie year, we're playing here in Staples Center. And Mikhail tells us before, like, look, he pulls me aside, like, you're going to see crazy people. You're going to see celebrities there. Like, lock in. And Kobe, he's going to try and bust your ass. Like, he's going to be, like, offended you're guarding him.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, cool. Like, love it. I'm flattered to guard him. So I go there. First of all, I'm just looking at the court side. My head's on a swivel. I've never seen this before, right? I'm like, God damn, this is crazy.
All of them
like,
are
Denzel's
in there.
Denzel's there, and this chick's there. I'm like, wow. So I'm already distracted. And of course, I'm starting on Kobe. And Jordan Hill that year had got traded from Houston to LA. So I had known him as a little side note. And fourth quarter comes around and Kobe looks at me and he's like, are you guys staying the night tonight? And I'm like looking at Mikhail, make sure he's not looking at me before I am like, yeah, like what up? Like, I'm like, oh, you see, he's doing it. Like, he's Mr. Miyagi in me right now. He's like, he's doing it. I'm like, yeah, like, what's up? We're staying. He goes, oh, I'll set you up. Like, I'll get your number from Jay Chill. And like, if you want to go out tonight, I'm like, stop. Like, you're like, I know what you're doing. Like, come on. Mikhail's over there, like, grilling me. Like, stop talking to this motherfucker. So I go, he ends up just going off. He has like 40 that game. We lose. After the game, you know, like right there in LA Live, we go to like Katsuya and we're with all the OGs, right? We're with like Camby, Dallin, and they're all taking me out. I get a text and it goes, you're all set at Supper Club - Mamba. And I'm like, I'm like looking around like, all right, who's fucking with me? Like, no way. But I'm like, Courtney Lee was my guy, right? I'm like showing him, like, is this real? Like, you got his number? Like, and I write him back. I'm like, okay, like, or like, are you, like I said something, like, are you coming? He's like, nah, I can't make it, but my guy will hit you up. Got a next text. Hey, you're set up. Let me know what you need at Supper Club, whatever. So at this point, I'm telling the table. I'm like, guys, I got you. Kobe's my guy. He set it up. Let's go. JB Bickerstaff is there. Like, I'm bringing coaches. I'm bringing trainers. I got it. And we have a blast, right? We have the craziest night ever. Supper Club was the club where the tables were beds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah. Like, I was like, it was nuts. And 2 a.m. rolls around, and granted, I'm with these guys that made hundreds of millions of dollars, and this waitress beelines right to me with the check. And I'm like, oh, shit. And my dad's my financial advisor at the time. He would be on my ass if I, like, value-sized my combo meal at Chick-fil-A. And she's bringing me this bill for God knows how much. And I'm like, oh, man. I open it, and it's like $22,000. And now at this point, I'm like, I'm sick. Like, I'm physically like, no. Like, I can't do this because card's going to bounce. And I'll never forget, this chick looks at me, hands me a pen and says, sign for Mr. Bryant. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I videoed the whole thing. I'm like, stop. I'm like signing Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant on a $22,000 club bill. And everyone, by the way, they say he's tough. He's going to go at you. I'm like, this dude was cool as fuck.
Hey,
like,
that's a dope story.
He was awesome.
That's a dope story.
It was a crazy, crazy time.
Did you keep
your seat? I got a picture of it for sure. So I also got his number.
I love the way the story went, though, because I thought, because Kobe was an ass, too, he would have stuck you with the bill.
And
you
know his bill from the weekend before. Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm fucked.
But then he flipped it on you. I like that,
man. It was nuts.
Yeah, that's our guy. I love that. That's a dope ass story. Yeah,
nothing but love for him.
That's probably my favorite Kobe story.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Yeah.
Last question, bro. If you could have a guest on our show, who would it be? But you have to help us get your answer on the show. That was my birth. I put that one together.
Let's get Cuban on here. He's the
great call.
I still talk to him all the time.
And that's your guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could probably get that done.
So tell him we'll be at your crib in Cabo. If he's out there, holler at us.
And if he wants us to come to Dallas, we'll come to Dallas and get him.
Got you.
Yeah,
we're passing out 10 days.
Yeah, I'm not talking about hooping no more.
No, that ship sailed.
Absolutely not. I'm about to be 42.
You can give me a job on this new company, though.
Right.
No, but Chandler, man, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate
great interview.
You guys.
Thank you for your time.
But before we go,
oh,
got something for you, my boy.
Oh, shit. Right. My bad.
What we got?
Okay.
Hey.
All the Smoke backpacking merch.
Fire. Yeah.
You can get it at allthesmoke.store.
Wow.
Just go there.
Hey,
log on.
Jack.
You can get your hat, shirt, sweater.
Hey.
I'm on a commercial right now, Matt.
Yeah.
Allthesmoke.store.
Hey, I feel like a proud father, man. The way you growing in this game is real.
Yeah. I appreciate
motherfucker
it.
Is like,
all of you. All of you, right now.
But Chandler, man, appreciate your time.
Man.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
You can catch this on Showtime Basketball YouTube and the iHeart platform, Black Effects. We'll see y'all next week.
This is All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeart Radio in partnership with Showtime.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.